That's a reality we deal with. That's a reality we live with. We are fallen people. We are have a sinful nature, and by the grace of God, He's changed that in us. But the reality is that we still live in a fallen world. I mean, we still make mistakes, and I want to guarantee that you're going to make mistakes, and you probably have made some. You've maybe made some bad decisions. Maybe made some bad choices in the past. It's going to happen. But that does not mean the plan of God is not there for your life anymore. That does not mean God is saying, oh my goodness, look at this guy. Cancel all that. Let's just get rid of this. Let's make a plan B. Okay. It's not like that. Let's see how it goes on. Okay, so now Moses is in the wilderness. He spends 40 years there. Okay, this is not just a long weekend. Okay, this is not a gap year. 40 years he spends there. He gets married, have children. I think they had a boy. And he's building another life. Okay, he's still hiding out. He's not got a great job, to be honest. Tending sheep for your father-in-law. You know, most men will struggle with that. But so it's not like his career is taking off. Okay, he's just making it. He's just surviving. And I can just imagine him thinking, you know what, God is good. I've got a wife. You know, I've got a boy. I've got a child, and God is blessing me. But this is probably it for me. I'm just going to be happy with this because, you know, what I've done. He's got this thing over his head. I'm a murderer. I've run away. I'm a fugitive. And you know, but at the same time, one gets the impression when one looks at the Psalms that Moses wrote. Did you know he wrote some Psalms? One gets the impression that he had incredible times with God in the wilderness. And it's funny, in King David's life, we see the same in the field with the sheep. It seems to be a good place to prepare somebody. So I don't know if that's a word for somebody this morning. Going to the field and tend some sheep for 40 years. Maybe make it a few less. But seems to be that God was preparing his heart. God was working something in him. God was helping him to deal with his past. God was building something in him. And maybe that's a good preparation ground for good leaders, is to have them look after sheep. Sheep are very difficult animals to work with. And being compared with them in Scripture is not necessarily a compliment. In any case, and what he's doing there seems ridiculously insignificant. Are you with me? He's tending sheep somewhere in the middle of nowhere. He's got his little family. He's doing his thing. But God has got other plans. He's preparing. He's building. He's stirring something. I'll say to you today, if what you're doing today seems to be insignificant, if what you're doing today seems to be not changing the world, don't think God's not in it, okay? But make sure that you engage with God with what He's doing in your heart right now, in this season. What is He preparing in your heart? What is He building? What is He stirring? What destiny, what seeds of destiny is He sowing and planting and growing in your heart? We go through seasons. I remember working for the church, but I was still kind of being trained up and I was still studying. So I was working as a bus driver. I was like running a little transport company, and I was also in charge of the CDs. Did I tell you this a couple of weeks ago? No. I was in charge of the CDs. We used to do CDs instead of downloads those years. We were high tech because we had CDs, not tapes, okay? But I don't know if you've seen, we used to do those Bible school correspondence packs. We still do them. But in those years, we had like CDs for every session. So there were lots of CDs. I made them. I wrote those CDs, okay? So if you worked through a pack of those, there were like 60 in a pack. That was me, okay? But, you know, it seems very insignificant. I had this little office. It was literally just like a corner like this. And it didn't have windows. And that was my spot. And I was doing CDs and driving the bus. It was always great to go out. But I remember God stirring my heart to take ownership of the season that he was preparing me. And obviously, you know, I'm still being, you know, I'm still under construction, praise the Lord. But, you know, he had to really stir my heart to take ownership of that season. And I remember at one stage having a conviction to pray over every CD. And obviously I couldn't like lay hands on everyone, but I was praying over the CDs as they were going out, trusting that wherever they would end up in the world, because they were going all over the world, that somebody's life would be changed, that the kingdom would come, that the gospel would transform a community, you know, that the gospel going out would do what God sent it to do, you know. And even there, I could partner with what God was doing, because even though it was an insignificant season, I could really, you know, God was helping me to engage with what he was doing in my life, in terms of preparation, etc. as well. Okay, so we see this dynamic here of a preparation, a season of kind of consecration, a season of away with, you know, with God. And although we would have written him off, God has not written Moses off. Okay. So whatever you're doing at the moment, I want to say, embrace it. Seek God in it. Seek the kingdom in it. Amen. Allow God to do what he wants to do in your life in this season. Embrace it to the full. Okay. Okay, 40 years. And then we see what God happens. Okay. What God does. Yeah, so if you've gone through something similar like Moses, if you had a massive shift in your life, you had a massive failure, you had a massive fall, it's so easy just to run away from God. It's so easy to just, oh, you know what? There's no way God can use me. There's no way God can redeem this. So easy just to turn our backs and to kind of just survive. And the challenge here is to keep on pushing into God. Not to, instead of running away, but to run to God and allow him and actually position ourselves for him to turn that situation for the good, as he promises to. He makes everything work together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Amen. So even that, the most terrible thing that you've got in your past, the most ridiculous thing that you've done, the worst failures, don't run away. Okay? Bring them to God. Allow him to turn that thing around. Allow him to transform that situation to something that will bring glory to his name. Okay. Okay. Now let's see what God does. Okay. But before we do that, let's quickly look at Moses' CV. Okay. Good qualifications. All right. Good education. It's looking not too bad. But then there's a problem. He's a murderer. Okay, not so good. Current work experience, not so good either. Okay, 40 years in the desert, looking after sheep. I don't know, not much management experience there. You know, we're looking for somebody that's going to lead 4 million people. I don't know, eh? So the CV doesn't look great, guys. He's married. He's married. That's big, guys. That's like his responsibility. There's a lot of faith there. Okay, I'm just kidding. But so he's, the thing is, on paper, when you look spiritually and even in the natural, his CV is not looking good. Right? You see what I'm saying? Anybody looking at Moses at that stage would think, wow, this guy is 80, okay? Pushing 80, it was basically around 80 at that stage. Old guy, okay? Been looking after sheep for 40 years. He's killed a guy. It's not looking good. But God sees something else. God has prepared something else. God has been busy stirring something. He's been busy building something. He's been busy preparing this, not only Moses, but preparing the ground in Egypt. Preparing the situation there. He's busy. He's been dealing with Moses so that he can deal with his past. So that he can embrace what God is doing. Okay. So let's see what happens. Chapter 3. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the back of the desert, came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, The bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight. Why the bush does not burn? So that then when the Lord saw that he had turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. And he said, Do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abram, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. We see this powerful, powerful moment. We see right there in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of desert, in the back, what does it say, in the back of the desert, Moses has a God encounter. And one thing encourages me, that even though Moses has been there for 40 years, he's not been changing the world, it seems that his heart was in a good place because he could recognize God is doing something. It seems he was prepared to a place where he could actually see, he could notice, okay, God is, and then he could respond to the voice of God when he calls him. Are you with me? So it's so important that even in seasons of preparation, especially in seasons of preparation, especially in seasons of seemingly insignificance, we need to have our hearts soft to hear God. That's when we learn to hear his voice. That's when we learn to be sensitive to what the Holy Spirit is saying. That's when we trained up to that we could hear his voice. So he draws near, and let's see. Just see if I. Oh, that's not good. That's the same one. Okay, before we get to that one. Okay, so this is the powerful moment, and it's a holy moment. And the fact that Moses recognizes that God says to him, take off the sandals of your feet, and you know, as you draw near. So there are key moments in our lives, guys, where there are holy moments, moments when God wants to communicate to us, wants to impart something to us, wants to drop something in our spirits. You know, that happen random times. But I want to encourage us, guys, even in the seasons where it seems like it's a bit dry, even in the seasons where I'm not, you know, going like a Boeing or like growing massively, just keep your heart fixed on him. Keep your eyes fixed on Christ. Keep your heart soft to hear his voice. Amen. And respect the holy moments. Respect the moments when God is calling you to draw near. It could be in intercession. It could be in your quiet time. It could be right here. But respect that and honor those moments and respond to those moments when God calls. Okay, let's quickly go forward and look what happened. So Moses, chapter 4, and Moses answered and said, God gives him some detail of what he wants him to do, okay? He wants him to go to Pharaoh and get the, you know, Israel out of there. And he's got some doubts. Okay, let's see in verse 1. Then Moses answered and said, but suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say the Lord has not appeared to you. So the Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? He said, a rod. And he said, cast it to the ground. So he cast it on the ground and became a serpent, and Moses fled from it. It must have been funny. Okay, but anyway, let's continue. It's still a serious moment. Moses fled from it. Then the Lord said to Moses, reach out with your hand and take it by the tail. And he reached out his hand and caught it and became a rod in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord of God of their fathers, the God of Abram, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. Furthermore, the Lord said to him, now put your hand in your bosom. And he put his hand in his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous like snow. And he said, put your hand in your bosom again. So he put his hand in his bosom again, and he drew it out of his bosom, and behold, it was restored like his other flesh. Then it will be, if they do not believe you, nor heed the message of the first sign, that they may believe the message of the latter sign. So Moses has got his doubts, okay? He's struggling with this, he's wrestling through this. God is calling him to do this crazy thing, this huge thing. And he's saying, Lord, but how are they going to believe me? How are they going to know that you sent me? And then God says to him, he doesn't say, listen, okay, yes, you're right. Maybe we should send you to seminary for a couple of years, or, you know, maybe we should just make sure you get that doctorate in theology. No, he says, what is in your hand? What have I already given? What have you already got? And with that thing, let's do the miracles. With that thing that is in your hand, with that thing that I've entrusted to you, with that thing you've already forgotten about, it's so part of him because he's tending sheep, right? That rod was in his hand every day. He probably doesn't even notice it there anymore. There's stuff in our lives, guys, that God has blessed you with. Giftings, parts of your character and who you are, your makeup, you know, just the person that you are, that God wants to do miracles through, okay? But you have to bring it to him. And you have to respond when he says, throw it or do it or whatever. We have to be ready to respond, amen? Moses doesn't even know about this. He's like, well, what is this thing in my hand, you know? And then he uses even his hands just to show the people that God is with him. Okay. Now, let's just quickly see. Just going to read these last bits here, because Moses has got some further doubts, and he's got fears. He's got things. He's got lots of reasons why he's not the best person. So Moses isn't. He's aware of his CV. He's aware that he's got problems. He's aware that he's not great. He seems not to be the best qualified for the job. Okay. Let's see what he says. Moses says to the Lord, "Oh my Lord, I'm not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I'm slow of speech and slow of tongue." That's good, Lord. I'm stammering a bit, you know. So the Lord said to him, "Who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the mute, the deaf, and the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth, teach you what you shall say." But he said, "O my Lord, please send by the hand of whomever else you may send." So the Lord, the anger of the Lord is kindled against Moses, and he said, "Is not Aaron the Levite your brother? I know that he can speak well, and look, he's also coming out to meet you. When he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. Now you shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and I will teach you what you shall do. So he shall be your spokesman to the people, and he himself shall be as a mouth for you, and you shall be to him as God. And you shall take his rod in your hand, this rod in your hand, with which you shall do the signs," right? The thing that is in his hand, that rod that has been with him for years, that thing that God has put in his hand, God's going to use that to do the miracles, okay? But you see, God, you know, Moses has got fears, he's got reasons, he's got doubts in himself. We, same as all of us. But God's not, God gets a bit impatient with him, not impatient, but he's, you know, a bit angry. But he doesn't give up on him. He says, okay, let's make a plan. Let's do it. He doesn't say, okay, now, well, that's it. Tough luck. Stay with the sheep. I'm going to get somebody else. Okay. So even when we've got doubts, even when we've got fears, guys, just keep on pressing into him. You'll make a way. You'll make it work. Amen. So maybe you'll put somebody by your side. If you seriously blessed like me, he will give you a wife that can be or can, you know, can really just be there and be the helper and be the other half. But the point is, he doesn't write him off. Moses, the murderer, Moses, the hideaway, the fugitive, he calls him. He says, let's do it, let's go, I'm with you. I will give you signs. And Moses, in the presence of God, is empowered. He's empowered by the Holy Spirit. He's empowered to do miracles by the Spirit of God. He goes with a mandate. So I want to just want you to picture this, okay? Now, Aaron, I've got lots of scripture today. Okay, let's quickly read this. Okay, I'm almost finished. Now the Lord said to Aaron, "Go into the wilderness, meet Moses." So he went and met him on the mountain of God and kissed him. And so Moses told Aaron all the words that the Lord who had sent him and all the signs which he had commanded him. Then Moses and Aaron went gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel. Aaron spoke all the words which the Lord had spoken to Moses. Then he did the signs in the sight of the people. So the people believed. And when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel, that he had looked upon their affliction, and then they bowed their heads and worshipped. So they could recognize the hand of God upon Moses, okay? And they worshipped. And then it was from chapter 5. Afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness." And Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice and to let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, nor will I let Israel go." So they said, "The God of the Hebrews has met with us. Please let us go 3 days' journey into the desert and sacrifice to the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword." Okay, just a few things as we close. Now, so there's been lots of complaints, there's been lots of doubts. Okay, there's been lots of reasons why it can't happen. And this is something we must get right, guys. And as charismatics and, you know, being free in the God and all those things, we've got a lot of time, we've got extremes, okay? I think I mentioned this the other day. I just want to encourage you with it again. On the one hand, we've got people that just run with the gospel, okay? And we run and we run and we never get to God himself. We just go, you know, and we preach the gospel and we get tired. And because we're going on our own strength, and we get offended with God because we're doing it in the flesh. And then on the other hand, on the other extreme, okay, there's stuff in between as well. On the other extreme, if we put people, they are so spiritual, and we are so close with God. We're just with Jesus the whole day, okay, and it's amazing. And we like tight with Gabriel in the mornings, you know, Angel Gabriel tea in the mornings, all that stuff. But we go nowhere. We don't get near the lost. We don't get near the purpose of God. We just kind of stay there. But we have to do both. Okay? If we look at Scripture, Jesus calls the disciples to himself. At one stage he says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. Come, come, come to me." And then many times he says, "Come and drink the water. Come and eat the bread that I have. I'm the bread of life." So it's many times when he's calling us to himself. Okay, and that's where we get it wrong. Some of us stay there. But then he also says, "Go into all the world. Go preach the gospel to every creature. Go." Okay, but we can't do only one of the two. We have to do both. We have to draw near. We have to come into his presence. We have to have those holy moments like Moses. We have to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. We have to be encouraged. We have to be strengthened by the Spirit. And then when he says go, we don't go in fear. We don't go like, "Oh my goodness," but we go in the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ. We go like David running at Goliath with he says, "I'm coming at you in the name of the Lord." He's crazy, man. So when we go from the presence of God, look at Moses and Aaron. Just for a moment, imagine the picture. They're going to meet with one of the most powerful men on the planet. He's rich, man. He's like gold everywhere. He's got God, security, you know, everything. And they, you know, being in the desert and Moses being the shepherd thing, it's not the most glamorous thing. I don't think he had a suit anymore at that stage. You know, he might have had it 40 years ago, but at that stage, you know, probably not. But the funny thing is God had prepared him for that because he grew up there. How cool is that? Hey? So now he goes back. He may not look the part anymore, but God has spoken to him. And they must have come in there, and I think the people there must have thought, "Who are these guys? They're ridiculous. Look at them. They're filthy. They smell like sheep." You know? They've probably been ridiculed, looked down upon, but they were fearless because God had spoken to them. They came with a mandate. They came anointed by the Holy Spirit. They came empowered to do the will of God. And guys, they didn't go in there once. They went in there many times because Pharaoh wouldn't let go. And in the first couple of signs, the first couple of miracles, the guys, the magicians and the guys did exactly the same. How bad must that be? You know, you've got your miracle, God has shown you, thinking, "My goodness, this is crazy stuff. And my rod becomes a snake." I mean, who can you trump that one, you know? And he goes there and the other guys do the same. Like, "Oh my goodness, Lord, what on earth?" So then, and half of us would probably have given up and said, you know, obviously this isn't working. I must have missed God. I must have heard wrong. The guys do the same. But it's that persistence. It's that confidence in the Word. It's that being encouraged, going back to God, being encouraged again and going again. Guys, if you've shared the Word with somebody, or you've prayed with somebody, or you've encouraged somebody at your workplace, and you got bat, what we say in South Africa, I don't know if it's, if you got rejected, don't stop there, please. Okay? Go back to God. Go get some more miracles. Go get empowered again. Go get encouraged again. And please do it again. Moses and Aaron went back many times. And every time the Lord sent back, said, okay, do this. Specific words, specific encouragement, specific miracles. Then obviously the plagues came. We can't go into those now. Plagues, okay, crazy stuff happening. And a third of the way, the soothsayers and the magicians kept up with him, did exactly the same. And then because of their persistence, because of their, you know, just keeping going back to God, keeping sticking to what God was saying, God just takes them into a whole new level. The guys can't keep up. Amen? Guys, there are going to be times when you're feeling, wow, I can't get ahead. I'm praying for my people. I'm praying for my family. I'm praying for my colleagues. But I can't make any headway. But keep going back. Amen? I'm doing what I feel God is telling me to do, but it's as if I'm not, you know, I'm not getting anywhere. Keep going in there. Keep going back. Keep drawing near and keep going with the gospel. Amen. Going with the power of God. Going with the, you know, the miracles, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Don't go in the flesh. Go in the name of the Lord. Go with the mandate that God gives you. And if you're not sure what that is, ask. Amen. Ask Him about it. If you're not sure what that plan is, if you're not sure what your part is in God's plan of redemption, ask Him about it. He wants to tell you, I can guarantee you that. Amen. If you don't hear it the first time, pray with somebody, but keep going there. Keep asking, keep pressing in. Okay? All right. Obviously, we end off with Pharaoh relenting in the end and the nation of Israel being delivered from Egypt. Okay, we're not going to go into all of those details now, but I just want to say, guys, let's stand this morning. If the band can come up, we're going to sing that other song, the second last one, the To Our God. If we can do that one again in a moment. Chris, do you mind swapping these again?
So we need that one to go in there.
Okay, but okay. So we're gonna pray, and then we're gonna worship. Guys, I just feel in my heart that there's a few things this morning. Okay, firstly, know that from your first day, from the day that you were conceived, God ever said from the before the foundation of the earth, you already had a plan. Okay, He's not confused about you. He's not confused about where your life is going. You might be. You might think, oh, you know, I've messed up so badly. I've missed it so many times. I've failed. I've sinned. You know, I've got such terrible stuff from my past. God is not, He's not intimidated by that. He hasn't changed His mind. Yes, He will honor that. He will. If you decide to turn away, I mean, He can't force you. But He hasn't changed His mind. He's called you. He's prepared you. He's given His Son for you. He's paid the highest price. He's done everything in His power to restore you back to Him. He's done everything in His power to renew your life. He's not changed His mind. His purpose is for you. His plan is for you. He's got a part for you to play in His major plan of redemption. I'm not saying, you know, this is, you know, you're the bee's knees and you're going to be the next Reinhard Bonnke. Maybe, yes, but the point is each of us have got a part to play in the Lord's plan of redemption for the world. That's why it's a body. Each member has a part to play. So you might have crazy failures in your past, guys. God has not changed his mind, okay? But you need to. Some of you need to forgive yourself. Some of you need to get over that thing yourself. Some of us need to receive that forgiveness. In Christ, the scripture says, we are not only forgiven, we are blameless. Do you know what that means? That means not only somebody has paid your traffic fine, but you still went too fast. No, it says you found not guilty. Do you see that? He's even removed the guilt. He's even removed the blame. He said, I wash you clean. I give you a new clean slate. And he says, I've called you. But there's a place where we draw near to him, where we get empowered by the Spirit, and then there's a place where we go with his mandate. We don't go in the flesh, we don't go in pride, we go in the name of the Lord. Amen. So even we might be a few this morning, but I can tell you now, Jesus had 12 disciples. And I tell you what, when you look at those first few chapters of the Gospels, they didn't look very good, eh? Mixed bunch. CVs didn't look very great either. Some of them almost like Moses. But he empowered those guys, and they turned the world upside down. They changed the world, literally. They went to the ends of the earth. And we are here today because of those guys. Amen. So I want to say, if I look at this room and look at the potential here, I say, guys, we will change this city. We change this nation with the power of the Spirit in and through us. Amen. When we receive what God wants to do, doesn't matter where he sends you, to the ends of the earth, doesn't matter what season you're in now, maybe it's an insignificant one, maybe it seems insignificant, but it's not. God is doing something. His kingdom is coming right now. He's busy right now. His kingdom is advancing. Scripture says, I will build my church. Jesus said, I will build my church. The gates of Hades will not prevail. In other words, he's going somewhere, guys. Doesn't matter where you feel you dry or you going through a rough patch. The kingdom is going forward. And the gates of hell will not prevail. Let's go for it. Let's join with God. Let's join with what he's doing. What is in your hand? What is in your life? What is the thing that God has put in your life that God wants to do miracles through? It's there already. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you, Jesus, that you paid the price for us. We thank you, Lord, that although we have fears and failures and sin in our past, Lord, we're fallible people, God. But we thank you, Jesus, that you do not write us off. We thank you that you do not, even when we write ourselves off, you do not. Your promise remains. Your purpose remains. Thank you, Lord, that your hand is upon every person in this place. Thank you, Lord, that your hand is upon this congregation. Thank you, Lord, that you've put us here for a purpose. Thank you that you've preserved every life in this room for a reason. Thank you, Lord, that we might be young or we might be older here this morning, but we thank you that your purpose is real and alive in us, God, in Jesus' name. Holy, and thank you, Lord, as we draw near to you this morning, thank you for a holy moment. Thank you for a moment, Lord, when we can connect with your heart for us, Lord, but also your heart for the nation, Lord, for the nations. Thank you, Lord, that we can connect with the fact, Lord, that you have called us from darkness into life, Lord. You call every person here, you call us as a family to step up, to face the world out there, to face the principalities and powers, to face the pharaohs of the world. We might be ridiculed, we might be looked down upon, we might be get people swearing at us. But thank you, God, that we can go fearless, Lord, that because we know you have called us, God. We thank you, Lord, that we can cast off every word of every curse spoken over us, everything, you know, of discouragement coming at us, and we can say, well, we are not here for our own good. We're not here for our own gain. We're not here because we are on a holiday or we want a great job. We are here in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are here in the city because he has put us here to make his name great. We are not here because of, you know, a great career or to have a family. We are here as a family to see the kingdom come. God, I thank you, Lord, for that you plant, you flight again that fire in every heart this morning, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for a drawing near so that we can go. Thank you for empowerment by your Spirit, Lord, so that we can run with the gospel, God, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for the filling with us, fill us afresh with your Spirit, Lord, that when we go, Father, that we can speak the word of life, God, that we can prophesy life, God, in Jesus' name. Over our own situation, over our own life, but also over our circumstance, over this, our nation, in Jesus' name. Amen. I want us to sing this song to our God, and then there's a part, specifically a part when we see the dry bones, the army of dry bones is rising. Okay, guys, we can sing this, but or we can say it, we can prophesy it. And this is a critical season for you and I to be able to see the dry bones rise before they do. Amen? In your own life, dead bones, dry bones, but also in this nation. There's lots of dead bones, guys. Amen? So I want us to prophesy it. I want us to not only sing the song because it's a nice song. Let's worship, but let's prophesy over this nation. Let's speak life over it. Amen? And I'm trusting God for us to see it in the Spirit, see the army arising, see the generation of believers that will not fear, the generation of believers that will go to Pharaoh and speak the word of God without fear. Amen. Let's do that. Let's worship.